take another testimony or two. We took a few earlier, but anybody have another testimony you'd like to share here at all before we get right into it? Anybody at all? Okay, we'll get right into it. I'm going to just read a verse I read this morning. I'm going to turn to a few passages here this afternoon. Probably, the truth of the matter is, this is a little more lengthier message than this morning, but I will be sensitive to time. I know maybe some of you don't have things planned and others do, and I, on days like this, I do try to be sensitive of your time, and I appreciate looking around today. There's not a bad crowd on an afternoon of the 4th, you know, for a Sunday, and this is good, and I appreciate your faithfulness, church, and God's going to bless you for that. But the message this afternoon is probably going to go a little bit hand in hand with this morning. Parts of it will. And I'm going to read a verse that I kind of read this morning, used this morning as well, but in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I'm going to be preaching this afternoon on the subject of righteousness versus sin. Righteousness versus sin. And I try not to be too repetitious. There may be some repetition here as I'm trying to get things back in line. It's kind of a part two, in a sense, I suppose, of this morning. But what was it that made America great? It was her righteousness, ultimately. You know, a French statesman, Alexis de Tocqueville, studied the workings of democracy in the early part of the 19th century in order to understand America's success. He then wrote, "I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her rich mines, in her vast world commerce, and it was not there. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her public school system, in her institutions of learning, and yet it was not there. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her democratic Congress, in her matchless constitution, and still it was not there. It was not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness that I understand the secret of her genius and her power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." The Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness lifts up a nation, if you will. Righteousness means, in a moral sense, or in other words, it means the moral laws of God. Simply just doing right, taking the word of God as it is written, and simply doing right. We have long, as I said this morning, we have long, it's a far cry to where America ought to be as far as God's righteousness. Boy, we're just immoral today. We've got immorality rampant all around our nation. The old devil tries to use immorality, and boy, you know what? Brother Roman said it this morning. It seems like when the heat is on, the clothes come off, and you got to guard yourself, and you got to work very hard to keep yourself clean and pure. And we are kind of a far cry from what I believe God says about righteousness. But righteousness does exalt a nation. In 1782, the United States, just think of some of these quotes that I came across. 1782, the United States Congress voted this resolution. "The Congress of the United States recommends and approves the Holy Bible for use in all schools." Think about it. I mean, you know, 1782, boy, this was the way of life in the school system. And by the way, it was a way of life in every home. It was a way of life in every church. It was a way of life in every institution, on the job. You know, in 1782, they approved the Holy Bible for use in all schools. Boy, far cry from today. Calvin Coolidge, our 30th president of the United States, reaffirmed this truth when he wrote, "The foundations of our society and our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them in faith. And these teachings That it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country." Here's another statement I came across. "Of the first 108 universities founded in America, 106 were distinctly Christian, including the very first, Harvard University, chartered in 1636. In the original Harvard student handbook, rule number one was that students seeking entrance must know Latin and Greek so that they could study the scriptures. Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life in studies is to know God in Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, and therefore to lay Jesus Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. That's, again, the far cry from what our American universities are today. You know, a lot of these institutions that were started back yonder years ago, that, you know what, their whole thought process, their whole idea was to go ahead and train preacher boys. It really was. Now, I'm not against, you know, not everybody's going to be called to be a preacher, but I know Harvard was very, very big on early years on training men of God. 52 of the 55 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Orthodox, deeply committed Christians. The other three all believed in the Bible as a divine truth, the God of Scripture, and his personal intervention. Boy, you know, I make these comments here, I came across them this week, to say, boy, we've come a long ways, haven't we? America's come a long ways. To say that our nation has moved from its original foundation is to ignore reality. I don't know if you remember Judge Roy Moore. He was a judge on the Supreme Court in Alabama. And he was ousted. He was a conservative Christian judge, and he was ousted for his posting of the Ten Commandments, if you remember. Judge Roy Moore, he wrote this poem, America the Beautiful. America the beautiful, or so you used to be, land of the pilgrim's pride, I'm glad they'll never see. Babies piled in dumpsters, abortion on demand. Oh, sweet land of liberty, your house is built on sand. Our children wander aimlessly, poisoned by cocaine, choosing to indulge their lust when God has said abstain. From sea to shining sea, our nation turns away from the teaching of God's love and a need to always pray. So many worldly pastors tell lies about our rock, capital R, saying God is going broke so they can fleece the flock. We've kept God in our temples, how callous we have grown, when earth is but his footstool and heaven is his throne. We voted in a government that's rotting at the core, appointing godless judges to throw reason out the door. Too soft to place a killer in a well-deserved tomb, but brave enough to kill a baby before he leaves the womb. You think God's not angry that our land's a moral slum? How much longer will he wait before his judgment comes? How are we to face our God from whom we cannot hide? What then is left for us to do but stem this evil tide? If we, who are his children, will humbly turn and pray, seek his holy face and mend our evil way, then God will hear from heaven and forgive us of our sins. He'll heal our sickly land and those who live within. But America the beautiful, if you don't, then you will see a sad but holy God withdraw his hand from thee. You know, I feel, and again, I'm going to just reemphasize this, I'm not a preacher of doom today. I love this country. I've said it more maybe not enough today. I love this country, but as a preacher of the gospel, I am very concerned about the country, the direction she's going. And we ought to, as God's people, and I said it this morning, I know, but we ought to, as God's people, likewise be concerned about the direction this country's going. Early in our nation's history, we were one nation under God. They want to take that out of the pledge. And God blessed our nation. Lately, sin is rampant. And though we are still blessed, we are experiencing reproach. We see plagues of drugs. We see plagues of diseases, AIDS, antibiotic-resistant strains of bacteria, West Nile virus. We see plagues of destruction. We see terrorist attacks, natural disasters, threats of terrorist attacks. We see plagues of demonism, the rise in witchcraft, demonism, and Satan worship. We see plagues of disobedience. Over 2 million are incarcerated, more than any other nation, I believe, is because we are becoming more and more a lawless society. And I could go on. I could go on with these plagues, if you will. But I do believe that these are early warning signs, and it's going to intensify as time goes on if we don't do something about it. Yet in our befallen nation in recent years, God doesn't seem to be getting our attention. As a nation, we only seem to be rebelling more and more. You know, I believe that 9/11 was a wake-up call. And for a little while, it was a wake-up call, wasn't it? Boy, everybody was blessed in America by God. God bless America. God bless America. You know, and I'm for that. I think, you know, obviously Congress ought to be singing that song out of the front steps every single day. But everybody, you know, you could walk down streets and they were holding up signs, God bless America. I remember that, and I do believe it was a wake-up call. I do. And now, you know, it seems like now, while we've been safe for all these years and we've kind of let our guard down, and now we're just kind of falling right back into the same slum, if not even further than 2001. How does righteousness exalt a nation? How is sin a reproach to many people? Well, Proverbs contrasts it here. We'll see it on the subject righteousness versus sin real quick. Righteousness is a reflection of God, while sin is a reflection of Satan. Turn to 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter. I'm going to turn to a few verses. I'm going to try to keep moving right along. But 1 Peter chapter 1, again, righteousness is a reflection of God, while sin is a reflection of Satan. See the contrast here in 1 Peter verses 13 through 16, chapter 1. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the form of lust in your ignorance, but as he hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know what? It's time for America to get back to holiness. But you know what's more than that? It's time for the people of God within these four walls to get back to holiness. The Bible says, don't go back to the form of lust. Don't go back. Don't fashion yourselves. Well, he saved you from sin. He saved you from the world. And you ought to be allowing him to be making you and cutting away and doing whatever he needs to do to make you holy. He says, be ye therefore holy, for I am holy. Righteousness is a reflection of God. Does your life reflect God? When you walk down the streets and when you do whatever you do throughout the week, can people say, hey, there's a difference about you? Do they see Jesus in you? Are you a reflection of God? The Bible says in Psalm 11:7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Psalm 147:17, the Bible says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. We serve a righteous God, and we ought to be reflecting his righteousness. Psalm 17:15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Psalm 23:3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 47:7, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Notice, he loves righteousness. He hates wickedness. He hates it. He hates it. It's an abomination to it. And it may be, you know what, God might be withholding some of his blessing because God's people, I've mentioned this before, need to repent. There's some things in your life that God is trying to say, hey, look at that. I don't want you performing that. I don't want you doing that because, listen to me. It's not right. It's not righteous. He loves righteousness. He hates wickedness in Psalm 47:7. In 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Sin, righteousness is a reflection of God. Sin is a reflection of Satan. In John 8, let me turn back there. John chapter 8, real quick. Verses 38. The Bible says this. 8:38. Well, I need to go back one more chapter. The Bible says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, and this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Let's go to verse 44. 24, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Sin is a reflection of Satan. So you see, in the Jewish mind, sons were believed to be an exact likeness of the father. That is the reason why when Jesus called himself the Son of God, they took such great offense to a point they wanted to go ahead and kill him. They wanted to go ahead and kill him. There was no doubt in their minds that Jesus was claiming deity. The Bible says in Ezekiel 28:15, says of Satan, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Our sin reflects the devil. The Bible says, ye are of your father, the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. Hey, sin is reflection. Hey, you know what? Let me ask you a question. If God is pointing something out, if you're in a spiritual mirror and he's pinpointing something right now, is there something in your life that you know that's hindering the blessing of God on you and your family? Dads, we take a big responsibility there. We do. We are to be the head of the home. That's biblical teaching. Some people, we ought to be the head of the home. Well, we ought to be teaching our children righteousness and our family righteousness. We ought to be the leader of the home. And you know what? And by the way, I believe this. If dads would get on their face before God again and start repenting of their sin, you know, you'll have blessing in your home. And if God's people would go ahead and turn our face back to God Almighty, and we get all wrapped up in the stuff of the world and materialism, we got to be careful. And again, I'm not against stuff. I'm not against new cars. I'm not against all that stuff. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We've kind of fallen right into the world's crowd. We've allowed the stuff to get ahead of God. We've gone ahead and put God on a back seat. God, you know what? Today, this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and we'll put God on a back seat. You know, there was a day in America, it didn't matter whether the 4th of July landed on a church day, the church would be packed. There was a day. There was a day. You say, I'm not being critical. You know, and I'm sensitive to the day, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? There ought to be no greater day than to go ahead and be in the house of God than on the 4th of July, remembering our freedom. I mean, Christmas, all that, yeah, we ought to have them days too, but you know what? One of the greatest days, I kind of thank God that the 4th of July landed on church day. I thank God that I got to pull together a couple patriotic messages and preach and just reflect the last couple days, just reflecting upon the freedoms that we have. Let me move along. Righteousness is an exaltation of God, while sin is an exaltation of self. Righteousness is an exaltation of God. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, we ought to have lights. I mean, our light ought to be so bright for the cause of Christ. You know, if you have been saved at any length of time, I'm talking about even if you're the oldest Christian here today, boy, you know what? You ought to have a light that's brightly shining. You know why? Because you've lived it longer. You've got to walk with God longer. You know, I mean, I've been saved. You know, I've been around the church, but I settled my salvation September 12th, 1996. But I've been around a while. You know what? I haven't been saved for 50 years like I know others and so forth. But you know what? Your light ought to be shining bright for the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to the workplace tomorrow, boy, people ought to see Jesus in you because you are let your light so shine before men. Boy, you go to the mall, let your light so shine. You go to school, let your light so shine. Boy, I love hearing some of the testimony of our public school kids around here. Unashamed of the gospel. Young lady you know who I'm talking about. Young lady goes to public school and she's just a little soul winning machine. She says, you know, I was just sitting there reading my Bible one day. In class, between classes. You know, not a lot of Christian young men or ladies would even go to the public school with a Bible. But she did, and I'm not praising her. I'm proud of her in the right way. I'm glad that she's willing to take a stand. She's just reading her Bible, and one of her friends says, what you reading? Just reading the Bible. Can you tell me a little bit about it as the conversation went on? And before that conversation was done, she led her friend to Christ. Now, I like that. I like to hear about, you know, of course, I'm big on the next generation and so forth, and we need to be the older generation today, that's me, and we adults in here, we need to be living such a life that the next generation want the kind of fire and the excitement and serve the same God that we serve. We ought to be living a testimony to the young people, but boy, I focus in on the young generation, and when I hear stories like that, I think, man, I think our young people are beginning to get it. I think they're beginning to get it. I thank God when I hear young people just saying, you know what, I can go ahead and stand for truth. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Yeah, I'll go to a godless public school system. At one time, this was the book in public school. They voted it to be the book, as I read a while ago, 1728. They said, this is the book in all school systems. And I thank God that there's some young people today, if you're in public school, you just keep on taking that New Testament. You take your Bible and walk proudly and go ahead and read it and stand for God. Oh, I like that. Righteousness exalteth is an exaltation of God, while sin is an exaltation of self. Sin is an exaltation of self, pride. You know, I gave this illustration this morning, but Lucifer, proud. He got proud there in heaven. I will be like the Most High. I will be as God. He had eye trouble. He was cast out of heaven. Boy, be careful of that prideful living. I don't feel like it. It's too hot to go to church. It's too cold to go to church. I don't feel like doing that. I. Before we do that, let's consult with him. God, what do you think about me walking with, you know, I ask him, what do you think about me walking with you every day, God? I wonder what he'd say. What do you think about me going to church? I don't feel like it today. No, careful your pride. Pride, sin is an exaltation of self. Righteousness, number three, moving right along, brings the blessings of God, while sin brings the curse of God. Righteousness brings the blessings of God. Deuteronomy, boy, there's a lot here, but I'm going to just read a few verses back in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, you want to read a few verses, you may follow along here. But Deuteronomy chapter 28, the Bible says this. 28 verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read a few verses. It's a long chapter. It's a lot in it, but let me just read quickly. And it came to pass, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, righteousness brings the blessings of God, okay? And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all this commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Talk about the nation of Israel here. You know what? Good lesson here. Just think about this. Blessed shalt thou be as a result of listening and hearkening the voice of God and the words of God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle and in the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest into thine hand to do. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord shall God giveth thee. He says, I will bless you. Righteousness brings the blessings of God. He tells Israel, you go ahead and you do this, you do this, you do. You hearken unto the words of the Lord. You hearken unto my voice. You know, it'd be good to start hearkening unto the Holy Spirit of God and the voice of God again. You want blessing? Listen to God. You want blessing? Sit up. Listen to the preaching. You want blessing? Sit up and listen when he's speaking to you as you read the word of God. Hey, open up the Bible again. Close all these other books and open up the Bible again and receive the blessing of God. Righteousness, it is an exaltation of God. Righteousness will bring blessings of God. Blessed are they, in Psalm 106:3, are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Blessed, if you do right, blessed are they. Psalm 119:1-3, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They shall also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Luke 11:28, blessed are they, portion of that verse, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hey, sin brings a curse of God. I can't read all through, but that same chapter of Deuteronomy chapter 28 talks about the curses when we go ahead and we turn, when they turn on God and not hearken to his voice. You know, God, let me just stop and say this. We kind of mistake God as a God of judgment. We have this whole idea, you know what? Well, God is a God of love. And you know, he is a God of love. But he's also a God of justice and a God of judgment. If he wasn't a God of judgment, of course, we've already read several scriptures of him being a judgment God. But if he wasn't a God of judgment, there'd be no hell. There'd be no hell. You know what? Sometimes, you know, society wants to paint, well, God is ever loving. Yeah, he is ever loving. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But he says also, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death. You know, he talks about living our prideful living. You know what? He's not going to bless us if we decide to live in sin. If we want to go ahead and go against the grain and say, you know what, and God has a perfect will, but so many of us have to settle for second best or just settle for whatever simply because we don't like what God chose for us. So therefore, I'm going to go my way. Try it. And see just what kind of happiness and joy that you'll have. You know, the greatest joy that you can live, let me tell you something, the greatest joy that you can live is just being found centered in God's will. And you know what? Let me tell you something. When you find yourself centered in God's will, number one, it's pleasing to him. But let me just warn you here. There will be some trials. The reason why, you know what? The reason why we may go ahead and get down in the valley, when we're in the will of God, it's part of God's will. We may get in the valley. But you know what? Oftentimes when people quit the perfect will, they're down in the valley and we'll go ahead and shake our fists at God and say, this wasn't fair. You know, it might be through that trail or through that race that God has caused you to run. He put you there so you could maybe learn some things so that he could strengthen you, whatever the case may be. Don't you quit when you're in the valley. You still be a testimony. And God's grace is upon you just as much in the valley as he is when you're on the mountaintop. You just keep on living right. You just keep on, you know, some of you teenagers, you know, you'll bail out on God. You know what? It's sad. And I'll just say it. Some of you young people, you won't be here 10 years. You won't be in the will of God 10 years from now. You know, because you hearken to a different voice than God. You know, listen to me, you know, and I preach it often, I got to keep on moving here this way, but you know what the will of God is for your life. All of us know, you know, it starts out at salvation and then right on to baptism and so forth and Christian growth and so forth. And he teaches you to get under the preaching and you walk with God and he'll teach you things. The Holy Spirit will teach you things and he'll weed away things. But we don't like the things he's weeding away, you know, and so forth and so on. So we'll say, this just isn't fair. And you know what? You go ahead and you bail out on God. You bail out on his perfect will. You bail out, you know, you can't lose your salvation, but you bail out. Let me tell you something. You go ahead and you bail out on God. I promise you, there will be a day you will come back and say, I wish I listened. I wish I had. Hey, listen, we move right along here. Sin brings a curse of God. Psalm 107, 33, 34. He turneth rivers into wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. We see the judgmental hand of God right there. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all godliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Psalm 121, their foolish heart, a portion of that verse, their foolish heart was darkened. Psalm 124, a portion of that verse, God gave them up to uncleanness. Psalm 126, God gave them up to vile affections. Romans 128, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Hey, verse, another thought here. Righteousness brings respect of nations, while sin brings a reproach. Righteousness brings a respect of nations. You know, we live still, I think, in a respected nation. But you know what? I was talking to somebody yesterday. You know, Europe is a nation today that basically doesn't want anything to do with this. I mean, they have really just grown so cold. in America years ago, man, we were heating up for the things of God. We were excited. Boy, we'd go ahead and preach, and the George Whitfields and the John Edwards and the preachers of old and so forth, man, they wouldn't go ahead and hold back. They'd just go ahead and preach truth. And boy, you know what? During that time, God was doing some things. You know, you'd have preachers back in the day, like a Billy Sunday. They'd keep going town, hold revival meetings, preach a whole week against alcohol and booze and drugs and sex and stuff like that. And he'd go ahead and he'd shut down whorehouses. He'd go ahead and shut down. You say you don't like that word. Well, that's exactly what it is. He'll go ahead and shut down them kind of houses. He'll shut down bars because of the preaching of the Word of God. Where is that now? People get upset because a preacher gets up and preaches. You got this little voice meter. Oh, that hit a 10. No, got to bring it on down to 9. No, or 8 or 7. No, we're just going to keep on preaching truth. Amen? We're not going to let up. You know what? And I don't care if it's popular or unpopular. I've had people mad at me because of the way I preach. That's okay. We're just going to keep on preaching truth around here, and we ain't turning back. Righteousness brings respect of nations. Sin brings a reproach to nations. Proverbs 14:34, reproach means reproof. Sin brings a reproof, becomes a reproof itself, because sin always has consequences. Don't forget that. You want to go ahead and, young person, start playing around with immorality, you know what? There will be a consequence. You want to flirt around in your little private office there, man, with your little internet, it'll have a consequence. You want to go ahead and have a little drink here or there or whatever, it will have a consequence. What we need is God's people to come back to Him. Repent. Change your mind. Change your direction. I said it this morning, you know what? When you repent, and you know, I'm talking about God's people right now, whatever it is that God is pinpointing right there in your heart, you know what? Why don't you get it right and say, you know what? Let hear my Lord, whatever it is, whatever you want. That's what we need, God's people. Whatever you want me to do, God. Whatever you need to weed away, God, I'll go ahead and I'll let you have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. We don't want to sing it because then we're accountable. I am the potter, thou art the clay. Make me and mold me after thy will. Have thine own way, Lord. Hey, before you go ahead and say it, you better think about it. Just think about it. But boy, you know what? That's what we need God's people to do. We need Faith Baptist Church to say, you know what, God, whatever it is you want me to do, whatever junk's in my life, whatever weight, maybe there's some weights that's getting in the way of your service to God. Weight's not necessarily a bad thing, but the Bible does say, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets you. That's causing you to slow down in this race. You know, there may be some weights that you need to, you know, prioritize or whatever. Maybe there's some things that God says, hey, that's getting in the way of your service to me, your walk with God. Hey, you know, righteousness is pleasing to God while sin is an abomination to God. Just think about that. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time. Righteousness pleases God, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasure. Sin is an abomination to God, Deuteronomy 25:16, for all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Righteousness brings a man closer to God while sin separates. I ask you today, are you closer to God today than you were a year ago? Teenager, are you closer to God today than you were last week? You know, we live in such a technology society, don't we? And I'm not opposed to technology. I don't know much about it. Get frustrated with it, you know, generally. But you know what? We've allowed technology, things that necessarily aren't bad, but you know what? We'll go ahead and get to the cell phone, we'll get to the computer, we'll get to everything else in the world, but we'll forget about getting to this throughout the day. The truth of the matter is, church, this is what we need to get back to. If we're going to go ahead and do our part salvaging America. I do believe in America. I said it this morning. I believe in America. I want these young kids to have the same freedoms to be. I mean, I'm not going to live forever. I mean, if Lord tarries, I'm not going to live forever. I hope to be about at least 80 or 90 still up here preaching, amen. But you know what? I hope that the freedoms that we get to enjoy even today are still there so that some young man someday down the road can get up behind this pulpit, take the same book, take the same songs, take the same standards, take the old-time religion, and keep preaching the gospel. I hope that can still happen. I believe it can. But sometimes we got to break away our pride. What is it that replaces God? What's keeping you from soul winning? What's keeping you from service? And you ask me, preacher, what can I do around the church this morning? You know, can I go get my four notebooks? List of stuff that needs to be done? I mean, if you saw my vision is way there, but you know, sometimes you can only go so far. The harvest is plenteous, laborers are few, and I believe that if we can go ahead and get busy in service and soul winning, and maybe you're not serving, but boy, God, what can I do? Boy, you know what? We need to get back to hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Are you hungry for it? Are you so thirsty for God that you want him to really do something great in your life? Are you so hungry for it? Our church needs to stay hungry for him and stay thirsting for God. And I know that if we stay true to his ways, the old paths, the old time religion, he'll go ahead and bless. He'll bless this church. We'll see some great things in this area. We'll see if churches would get on fire again, we can see a great revival in this great land of ours. But you know what? It starts with you and I. It starts with me. I wonder here, maybe, you know there's some things in your life that ought not be there. Why don't you just deal with it? And it's keeping you from service. Well, I can't do that because I got my golf day. That's fine. Go play golf after that service, that thing. I'm not against golf. I just can't play. You know, but you understand what I'm saying. You know, we could see so much more done for God if we would just, okay, God, I'll get out from the sidelines and whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Drive a bus? Yeah, I say that a lot. We need them. You know, been thinking about it. We have three buses out there. They all run by the grace of God. Someone said, boy, wouldn't it be great to go ahead and take that bus and run it through Brockton or something? I said, yeah. That third one. I said, yeah. But I said, you know, I can't do it. Why? I need a bus driver. I need a bus captain. And I need a little bit of dedication. Oh, I'd do it in a heartbeat, but I have a hard time. I'm really not sure I could be in Brockton and Wareham at the same time. I haven't figured that out yet. You know, am I trying to put a little pressure on? No, I'm just saying there's a lot more we could do. I believe our time is short. I just do. I'm not saying Jesus is coming back today, but he could. But there's a lot more. There's a lot more little boys and girls and mamas and dads that need to hear what the truth that we have. And that is our part of doing what we can for America. I love this country. More Sunday schools could be started. More workers. There's so much that could be done. But can we find it within ourselves to maybe reprioritize our life enough to say, you know what? I'm strong in this area. I could help in this area. I could sing a special. I could sing in the choir. The list goes on. You want to see my list? I'll go get my four notebooks. I mean, literally, you know what I'm talking. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to do. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is reproach. Righteousness, because, I mean, same principle, will exalt your home. And it'll do the same thing. Sin will do the same thing. It'll be a reproach. Righteousness will exalt your person as far as the blessing. But sin, same idea as righteousness exalteth a nation. I'm not changing the Bible, but you see the principle. But sin is a reproach. Righteousness, just living right. God loves righteousness. He hates wickedness. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. God, just I thank you for allowing me. I got to go ahead and sit back and study for a few hours this week on America and hearing these great men of old, the statements, the things that these men, the spirituality of these men of old, they trusted in a true God. I know our nation was founded upon biblical principles. God, I thank you for my people here. God, you know I love my people. You know I love these young people with all my heart. God, I want to see them just go off and just do your will. Not the preacher's will, but your will, whatever you'd have them to do. God, we need them. We need all of us to go ahead and enlist and desire to go ahead and serve you in whatever capacity. I pray, Father, that you bless. God, I pray that you bless this nation. Just thinking about it all day today. I pray you just bless our nation today. God, please don't remove your hand from this nation. God, help us to see the lost souls that are dying going to hell and help us to do something about it. Help us see them little boys and girls that need Jesus and help us do something about it, God. The mamas and daddies and families all around here that need you, help us to get on fire and do something about it, God, while you tarry. Right now is the only time we got to do it while the fields are white. Pray, Lord, you bless. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe God spoke to your heart tonight. Let's stand to our feet. God spoke to your heart. I'm going to ask you just a moment. Pianist is going to play "All to Jesus I Surrender." If God spoke to your heart, won't you come forward and do business if the Lord lead for closing, but great day to get day. I appreciate being in your place. I hope you enjoyed the day. I did enjoy being with the church people and just fellowshipping not bad having these kind of days back to back like this, keeping the family together. And I'm certainly glad you're a good crowd this afternoon. Thanks for being in your place this afternoon. And why don't we close with a word of prayer? Brother Robles, would you come up and close in prayer? Wednesday, we'll be right back in our place. Tuesday, there will be no preliminary stuff for youth group, but 6:30 youth group. If some of you can help some of the teenagers get here, that'd be a big help. I know Brother Ron's got to work during the day, so the schedule's changing, but we're still going to have youth group that evening. If you could be here, that would be great. There'll be some rides available, but let us know. Anyways, Brother Robles, come on up, close in prayer.
Pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this country, greatest country in the world. Thank you that, Lord, we can be called an American. Lord, a symbolism of our freedom and where we stand. Lord, keep us free by keeping us dependent upon you. Heavenly Father, help us never to take our eyes off you, Lord, and never forget the God that made us great. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be with our servicemen. Thank you for them that are serving and continue serving our country in sacrifice of life, family, and homes, Lord, to fight for our principles and fight for our freedom. Thank you for them. And thank you for those that have come before and shed their blood for our freedom in this land. Thank you for what we enjoy today. And Lord, help us to keep you, Lord, the focus and the center of our life in the midst of it, that you may be glorified in all that we do, in all who we are, in all that we will become. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray these things and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.